We're back because it's hour two of the show. That means it's about 6:06 on your Saturday night, and it's real good to have you along. Our phone number, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. I'm Randy Corporan. Outside, still looking good. Don't you love how light it stays? Still, 71 degrees in Aurora, 74 degrees in Hell, otherwise known as Denver, Colorado. And just had a picture, a split-screen picture up on the monitor here in the spacious luxury high atop the city, wide open, hot tub encased, free bar, hot coffee studios here at 710 KNUS. It was pretty pathetic. You saw creepy, sleepy, sleeping Joe Biden sitting at the head of his table, surrounded by what I assume to be cabinet members. I couldn't make out the faces. Slumped down, wrinkled shirt. On the other side, Benjamin Netanyahu and his war room. I'm just thinking what it would be like if we actually had strong pro-Israel leadership in the White House, like, for instance, Donald J. Trump. As we speak, I guess maybe we ought to check in real quick with the Trump rally, see if he's talking at all about Israel yet. So let's do that now.
I don't think he has any clue. So listen, what we have a little look at this one. That's for him. It's slight. I call it slight. See the podium? I'm calling on Crooked Joe Biden to debate. Anytime, anywhere, any place. Right there. And we have to debate because our country is going in the wrong direction so badly. And while it's a little bit typically early, we have to debate. We have to explain to the American people what the hell is going on. Because they're looking at the border and they're looking at...
That's pretty cool, looking at the stage. He's got a diminutive platform next to the Trump platform, which is big and tall and strong and has Trump all over it. They're in Schnecksville, Pennsylvania. And the little Biden podium says, anytime, anywhere, any place, 2024. They are going to shame that man back to his sick bed in Delaware. And he's not even sick. He's just sickly. But nothing of significance yet from Donald Trump with regard to the Iranian strike on Israel, at least nothing that I could tell so far. So I want to, where did that go? Okay, I'd pulled up the official statement of Stormy Daniels, the next show trial effort to imprison or at least stain the Trump reputation, try and get those folks who care so little about their country, their border, their children, their grandchildren, their religion, their state, the state of Israel, that they would consider not voting for Donald Trump if they see that he's been convicted of a crime. And this is the show trial in New York regarding Stormy Daniels. So let me just read her full statement to you. It's a written statement signed by Stormy Daniels. It's called The Official Statement of Stormy Daniels, January 30, 2018, to whom it may concern. Over the past few weeks, I have been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, there's a typo there, it says 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was paid, quote, hush money, as has been reported in overseas owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at TheStormyDaniels. I think I won't do that. But that was released, was retweeted on Truth Social and on Twitter and different places, re-released. We talked about this years ago when the Stormy Daniels hoax came up. But nonetheless, there will be a show trial in New York based on an accusation that Donald Trump didn't report money that's purported to be hush money and instead treated as a campaign expense and wasn't properly tracked or whatever. The contortions, and Donald Trump was talking about this earlier at the rally that he's at in Pennsylvania, the contortions of the legal system that have to be made to try and turn a misdemeanor for which the statute of limitations long ago expired into a felony for which a charge could still be brought are epic. Even left-wing legal commentators are saying it's epic. And now CNN was reporting earlier, and it said on the Cryons earlier that Biden would be addressing the nation live Biden. Apparently he couldn't get through a live speech, so it looks like, sounds like, they've recorded one. Jack Posso is reporting, tonight Biden will not deliver remarks, and the real president will be giving an address from a field of thousands of patriots gathered in Pennsylvania. CNN now reports that Biden will not address the nation as the new war he caused breaks out. This is another Twitter person commenting on Jack Posso's tweet. Note to tyrants, plan your attacks to happen while Biden is sundowning in Delaware. And from Alexa, Israel is under attack. This should never have been allowed to happen. Biden on Israel didn't do his address to the people live. He taped it. This is a Donald Trump Truth post. There's no time for taped remarks. It really is like living in a science fiction movie, a Woody Allen comedy. It's hard to believe that this is the reality that we've been thrown into, but obviously it is. They are saying that Biden and Netanyahu will be speaking by phone soon. How much would you love to be a fly on that wall? Holy smokes. Yeah, and people are texting in. And yeah, I read this earlier. Iran has now said that the matter is concluded. So apparently this salvo to Israel was their response to the killing of a high-ranking military Iranian general or something high ranking. And now it's over. What will Israel do? What Biden's going to do? He's going to tell Netanyahu, now don't overreact. Let's not, we don't want to have to give Iran another $600 billion. Pallets of cash. Remember when Obama flew the pallets of cash to Iran? These are traitors to our country. They're traitors. And yet we fight among ourselves as Republicans, and then we talk about the future like it's some kind of a regular, a normal political battle. Two competing ideologies, two different perspectives. One side's a little more socially liberal, and the other side's a little more fiscally conservative, and we're just struggling to find that common ground by which the United States can be governed. Nothing of the sort is going on right now. And that's why I'm so grateful that we finally have strong leadership in the Colorado State GOP. The assembly last week is why I wasn't here. And it was a long day. The software that was used to credential everybody, check them in, completely crashed. Like it just apparently just... And I don't know if this was sabotage or, I have no idea, but it just disappeared. And it literally had to be rebuilt as the day went on and was successfully. Fortunately, there weren't very many challenged issues before the body of some 2,100, 2,200 delegates and central committee members. So we could use the early hours to go through the things to which there was full agreement. The nomination for CU Regent was uncontested. The nomination for and the election for Central Committee man, me, was uncontested. I got to use my time and my remarks, since I wasn't actually having to run a campaign, to praise Colorado State GOP leadership, to praise the changes that are happening on the RNC, to talk about what I actually do on the RNC, what the RNC actually does, and the changes that have already occurred under the new leadership, with the RNC now tied together to the Trump campaign. And again, a standing ovation. What Republicans, voting activist Republicans in the state of Colorado, want to hear. So one of the other things that was a positive to use up time while the credentialing was getting done was resolutions. And there were two resolutions of particular note. One which allows the Republican parties, not just the state party, but local parties as well, allows them to actually endorse candidates who have gone through the assembly and obtained the ballot. And, you know, if you read the newspaper, if you listen to Dick Wadhams or others who just so hard to imagine behaving this way, Republican parties around the country have empowered themselves to endorse candidates. The California Republican Party plays in primaries. They endorse candidates. It's nothing new. It's nothing tragic. It's nothing unprincipled. It's how you can try and help filter the soft, squishy, middle of the road, or, you know, think about Joe O'Dea as the biggest example, a man who obtains the Republican nomination. And again, like Joe, met him, spent some time with him. Not close personal friends. Don't know enough about him to be a judge one way or the other, except seems to be a terrific human being with a great story. But he was not a platform-following, principled Republican, because as soon as he became the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, he proclaimed that if he were elected to the Senate, he would literally vote to codify Roe v. Wade, to put it into federal law. After 50 years of getting rid of Roe v. Wade and putting it back to the states, a tremendous victory for the Constitution, because Roe v. Wade was horrific, unconstitutional law. And a Republican, a person who attains the nomination, not by going through assembly, but by buying his way on the ballot through the petition process, perfectly legal. I understand that. But the leadership of the current leadership of this party, and I sit on the executive committee, so I have a small, small role to play there, decided that it is the role of the Republican Party in Colorado to promote actual platform-supporting conservative Republicans. That's what the voting members of the party want. So that resolution was passed, and as a result, on Sunday, I think it was, maybe Monday after the assembly, Colorado GOP came out and endorsed America First candidate Lauren Boebert, because she went through the assembly. She is on the ballot. Now, I know Richard Holtorf was upset about that. He came to our Tea Party meeting last Tuesday to announce that he was calling on Chairman Dave Williams to resign over that move and some other decisions that have been made. Richard Holtorf was on our station the next morning. He told us he was going to be, so I went back and found the podcast a couple days later and listened to it, where he laid out his story. And I like Richard. I mean, he's a powerful guy, and I think he would make a wonderful congressman. I think he's a solid state legislator. I haven't checked his voting record, but he sure comes across that way. But I think it's sour grapes as far as his efforts to take out Chair Williams. I think it's horrible timing as we head into our primary season and then our general election here in the state of Colorado. And fortunately, Dave Williams was invited on the same show, our morning show here, Jeff and Bill, the Jeff and Bill show. And in 10 minutes, he just completely destroyed the arguments that Holtorf took, was given 25 minutes to make, and a few other falsities. So if you have doubts about Chairman Dave Williams, if you're one of these people that says, you know, I don't like what I read, but I'd like to hear from him, I suppose I could have brought him on tonight. I just don't do guests very much anymore. But go back to Friday at 8 o'clock, the podcast of the Jeff and Bill Show, and tune in to Dave Williams, who in about 12 minutes shows you why he is absolutely a fan favorite of the majority of the Republican delegation, the Republican Central Committee and the delegates combined. The assembly was run very, very well. And there was a controversy because delegates, there were, 134 delegates who got credentialed after voting had begun. The only really contested race was Republican National Committee woman. I had endorsed Laurel Eimer, Vera Ortegon, the current two-term Republican committee woman, and then Christy Ruckus Fedora from Pueblo, the ultimate winner. And credentialing was done while the voting was going on, so there was some concern about that. And Holtorf complained about that as well, that the process matters. But I looked into this, and with the destruction of the database, having to rebuild it on the fly, it turned out that there were about 134 people who could not manage the QR code. Some of them elderly, some of them don't even have smartphones. And Dave's decision was to go ahead and allow those people to vote and then bring it back before the body, a much smaller body. A lot of people had gone home, and say, hey, it's up to you guys. Do we allow these people's votes to count? And fortunately, and the body voted yes. And here's the thing. I mean, there were even state legislators like Lori Sane, who did not get credentialed until that last batch of 134 because there were so many problems after the computer database broke down and people who couldn't manage the smartphone QR code part of it. But she was obviously entitled to vote. You had ID when you checked in. You had ID when you dropped your ballot. You had your name on your badge. I mean, it was really a secure election, and it was hand-counted paper ballots. The hand-counting took about 50 minutes to count those 2,100, 2,200 ballots, whatever the number was. So the decision to ask the body if it wanted to approve those 134 was likely the right one, because those were people who were clearly entitled to vote. They just had trouble managing the process. But the bottom line is, it was irrelevant. Christy Fedora won the National Committee Woman position by about 600 votes. So if you had carved out the 134 delegates who were late credentialed and just took them completely away, wouldn't matter who they voted for, would not have changed the outcome of the election. Vera only got about 200. Christy got, 1,200, 1,300. Laurel Eimer got 600-something. So it wasn't even close. And Christy and I have had multiple conversations. Our current national committee woman has sort of checked out. She was responsible for getting the information to our national delegates about their hotels and all of that. And she has declined to continue to be that point person. So we got Christy and the vice chair of our party and the secretary of our party all working together to get that information out to the national delegates as it comes from the RNC, and I connected them with the right people there. So it was a tremendous success. And those who were there, those who voted on the resolutions, the other resolution was to opt out of the open primary, to instruct, to order the Central Committee when it next comes up for a vote to opt out of the open primary. Very popular on the floor. And really, I think, a very smart ploy, a very smart move by the chair. So naysayers, feel free, call in. We'll get back to the phones. I've rambled way past our break, so we better take that now, and then we'll jump on the phones when we return. Right now, though, at 626, I'm Randy Corporan, and you're listening to 710 KNUS. Seemed like a fitting song, though I have to admit that when I chose it this morning, I had no idea that Iran would be launching what is now been identified, has now been identified as 100 drones and 150 ballistic missiles into or at Israel. U.S. forces have knocked down some of the drones. The Iron Dome is doing its best to, and it's just this fiery light show. The Iron Dome light show in Israel is, yeah, it's fascinating to watch, terrifying to be living under, I would think. And I pray that it is successful and not a single one of these attack drones or missiles gets through. No one gets killed. Biden and Netanyahu scheduled to talk tonight. Can you imagine having to talk to that mumbling, bumbling, finger-wagging, whispering, shouting, stumbling, falling buffoon who's supposedly in charge of the nuclear codes if you're Benjamin Netanyahu and you have a country to protect? And of course, you know, people forget that as prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu is not the commander-in-chief. There's military people are in charge of what happens in the military in Israel. But Netanyahu is going to have to go through the motions, and it's pretty darn disgusting. We'll talk about that. We'll get Donald Trump's stance on abortion and see what you think about it. Some real controversy has followed that, but is it a smart thing electorally? And I can't seem to get any takers on my question. Is Lauren Boebert a bad mom because she will not foot or assist with the legal bills for her 19-year-old son and his second, and this time pretty serious, pretty egregious sounding run-in with the law? But right now, let's go ahead and get back to the phones with Brian in Arvada checking in. Brian, always nice to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you, Randy. Hey, this is going to continue to happen as long as good men, which I believe there are more good men than bad men, do nothing. When we sit back and let this nonsense continue, because most good men, they just want to live comfortable. They just want to ride the wave. That's not the way it works. If you're going to be free, you know, there's a price to be paid. But anyhow, hey, I was in the hospital for the last week, Randy.
Man, oh man, are you okay?
Well, it was my wife, dude. I was sleeping on a chair. And you know what the beauty of it, though, was? And it brought me back to a couple of years ago. These nurses, they were the most amazing people. They'd come in and try to make you feel comfortable. They were busting their butt, just doing everything right. And it brought me back to the whole COVID shot thing. And I was thinking, I remember when people are outside hitting their pans, because these nurses, you know, if a man in need is a man indeed. And these people are the most important people. So everybody's tapping their pans, screaming and yelling, nurses, nurses. And then all of a sudden, this vaccine, we had a lot of money involved with it. We let a few disgusting pukes of human beings control everybody because the good men didn't stand up. So they said, well, no, we don't care if you're a nurse. We know more than you do. Even though you're in the field, you're going to get the jab. It's disgusting. And good men just stood down and said, I guess I'll get the jab too because I got to keep my job. At some point, no matter what you own, it doesn't matter. This country doesn't exist because, look, Washington had everything. He could have just rode the wave. So can Trump. Trump could have just rode the wave. They're risking everything. And that's what it's going to take from everybody. And I know there's more good than there is evil. I know it. I know it in my heart there is. It's just we got to get the cowards to, you know, stand up a little bit. But that's my opinion for the night.
And, Brian, we've got to get the elections under control so the will of the people is truly furthered every 2 and 4 years.
Well, yeah, people that make it easy to cheat, it's because they want to cheat. That's just common sense. You don't make it easy to cheat because you don't want to cheat. I mean, this is where good men, and I believe that we're the dominant people are. We need each other, and we're good. But there's these few sociopaths that try to bribe people, and they're vindictive, and they control everything. But at some point, you got to risk everything, and the good people got to say no more, and then it'll end. But you know, we got to keep working on them. I guess Randy is what I'm thinking.
Well, you know, the fight is on, man, and we've got strong leadership for the Republican Party here in Colorado now. We're replacing Republican National Committee members with, you know, grassroots America First patriots. And so, you know, that's a very small piece of it. The piece that you're
all hope ain't lost is what you're saying. All hope ain't lost. We're going in the right direction, but we got a heck of a battle on our hands, is what I'm thinking.
And your point is so good that individuals have to stand up. I was so proud of the businesses. You know, representing Bandimere Speedway was one of the great honors of my life, and they stayed open throughout COVID. And, you know, tens of thousands of people got to gather together outside and do what they loved while everybody else was holing up, restaurants and others that we fought to keep open. And so there were those, and some paid the price. I mean, you know, the
There's always a start. There's always a start to something. But if we could get all of us on the same, all the good people, which I believe are about 90%, some of them are just uneducated, whatever. If we can get them on our side, which eventually I think will happen, then evil will just be crushed. None of this would be happening. They would just have the iron hand come down and crush them instead of making individuals scared. I mean, yeah, at some point you got to risk everything because the rewards, it'll be beautiful, and it's not for you. It's for your kids. It's for your grandkids, especially if you're like our age. People our age should be, you know, they should be able to say, "Hey, okay, all right, I've lived my life. I'm gonna stand for what's right." Period. And when that happens, that's when everything will be a little bit better, I guess.
I'm with you, Brian. It sounds like you're back home and fired up. Everybody home. Everybody okay.
Yeah, for now. She had some kind of spot on her lung, but she already told me a long time ago. She said, "Brian, I'm not going to get chemo. I'm not going to go through cancer. I'm just going to put my life in God's hands." So I'm, you know, I'm kind of working on her on that one, especially after, you know, I talked to a friend that actually went through it, you know, a few times. And made it, so maybe I can kind of convince her, hey, it's a little bit worth the battle. At least question, you know, what's my odds, this, that, and the other. But she wants to live, you know, I guess as normal as possible. She says it's about the quality of life, not the length. But she's stubborn. I mean, she's the most stubborn person you'll ever meet. She's and she's straightforward. There's no, you're a guy, you're a girl. No, this is what you are. She doesn't play any games. She's a straight Republican. Well, she's an independent that leans Republican. You know, she's not part of the sellout Republicans. But, yeah, so.
Well, Brian, I'll say a prayer for your wife. I spent many nights in those hospital chairs. And I know.
Did you have the gray one that went back and it was kind of thin?
Yeah, it's thin and it's narrow, and you know it's better than nothing because you get so worn out in those.
I actually liked it. That little edge on there, it caught my back, and I manipulated my pillows, and I was kind of cool with it. You know, I could watch the action around. We had a good view, so there's always positive in everything, but there's always a lesson to be learned too.
Yes, sir, and you'll never regret a single moment supporting the person that you love. So God bless you for being that kind of a husband.
I married her when I was 17 years old. I was like you, the high school sweetheart.
Holy smoke.
That was going on with that. So we got 8 grandkids. But anyhow, enough about
Now you're just bragging.
I know. It's horrible.
God bless you,
anyhow,
my friend.
I love you guys all in Radio Land. And just reach out to one person. That's it. And evil, we can crush it easily because most people are good.
I'm
so
with you, brother.
That's my lesson for the night.
I hope we get to meet someday, Brian. Take care.
We will.
All right. God bless. All right, text messages on Lauren Boebert. Tough love from Lauren Boebert. John Corbless behind the glass, thumbs up on that. I'm with you. I'm with you. If, you know, I always thought, I never had to go through this, never had any, you know, kids with DUIs or a criminal charge or, you know, a curfew violation or running away from home, an unwanted pregnancy or, you know, and I, listen, I'm not judging. But by the grace of God, I never went through those things. But as a lawyer, I see it all the time. And I see parents who enable, well, you know, little Johnny just, you know, he's learned now. He's learned his lesson. It's the second time, the third time. And I always wondered how I would deal with it if I was faced with that. And from my perspective, and my kids are adults now, but even as adults, you know, they'd get one. I've made a hell of a lot more than one serious mistake in my life, but I wasn't being looked out for the way I look out for these kids and the way I, you know, attempt to influence them to make good decisions about their lives and their families. But they'd get one. I wouldn't leave them in jail. I wouldn't leave them without counsel or at the mercy of a public defender. And listen, some great public defenders out there, but you never know who you're going to get. I would step up for my kid, but I would, but you know, as Lauren Boebert did, I believe, the first time for her son. But this second round of charges is pretty nasty, pretty bad behavior, and it's the second time. So I agree with the texter. Tough love from Lauren Boebert makes sense. I spent some time with Lauren down at the assembly. She was, of course, flying high because she smoked it. She knocked off what I thought was her biggest competition, Ted Harvey, because I know him to be a movement conservative, unwavering movement conservative. I've heard some trash bag wannabes characterize him as a super pack grifter or something like that, and just dumb. But she was flying high, and obviously, interestingly enough, she came down on Friday before the Saturday assembly, won convincingly, I think 40% of the vote, got rid of the rest of her competition as far as the, you know, she's automatically on the ballot. Well, you had to get 30% to automatically be on the ballot. Others are still trying to petition on. Deb Flora, Richard Holtorf, I don't remember or know if there's anybody else. But she drove all the way home from Pueblo back to Windsor to be at home in her own bed with family for the night, and then came back on Saturday for her speech and to introduce Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz was our featured speaker, and he was, as usual, terrific. We need more Matt Gaetz. How does Hugh Hewitt refer to the Matt Gaetz wing of the Republican Party? The crazy caucus, I think, or the crazies caucus or whatever. We need courage. We need passion like that. Mike Johnson, man, what a disappointment. He started a podcast or a broadcast, and apparently it's going to be heard here on 710 KNUS Saturday mornings at 6 o'clock. The kickoff episode with Speaker Mike Johnson and what's his name? The heavy-duty Christian dude. I can't think of his name. I'll think of it. I'll look it up. But it was very, very interesting to hear the arguments that, you know, we have to govern and we can't let the government shut down. And as soon as you say that, you have lost all power in the House of Representatives. Because that's the only power you have, is to shut it down. Cut off the spending. Close the purse strings. That's why the House of Representatives turns over every 2 years. It's to be the closest to the people. If you don't like what they do, vote the bastards out in 2 years. But as soon as you say you're not willing to shut it down, you've lost. You've lost all the leverage that you have. Really, really sad. I know. Have I waddled past another break? Or, good Lord. Okay. I'm thinking, okay, I've got till 6:50, so I was going to go to the phones, but we got to do the 6:40, don't we? Okay. So, callers, sit tight. My apologies. I'm on a coffee-induced roll tonight, and it's 6:45. Stay with us on 710. KNUS. That first Johnny Cash song just made me want some more Ring of Fire from 1963 earlier. and Jackson from 1967. The good old days. The icons that really made a dent. Truly, truly fascinating. All right, update on Israel. Air Force planes continue to intercept air threats. Israel is reporting that they have intercepted 99% of the 100 drones and 150 missiles that were launched by Iran. And Iran has stated that they will not hesitate to use future defensive measures. So that's what these retaliations are about. And before we jump back to the phones, a couple of quick text messages. While learning from Wake Up, I'm pulling the harmonic balancer on a GM 3800 to replace the crank sensor. No steak this week, Dave. Dave and wherever, I don't know. But, man, I can't. I was a mechanic for 20 plus years, and lots and lots of Saturday nights trying to finish a car, get a customer car back, get one of my cars back together, and listening to talk radio, listening to music, listening to Rush Limbaugh when I discovered him and the ability to, you know, get replays. And so, Dave, thanks for listening. Good luck, man. And it's awfully good to do that yourself because mechanicing is getting very, very expensive. I can't keep up with your music choices on this station, says our friend from Nebraska. Well, we try to have a little variety. I don't know if you're comparing us to Sunday nights, Backbone Radio, Dr. Matt Dunn, very eclectic, awesome music choices. Or just the fact that I'm all over the board. You know, I started out with Crystal Gayle tonight, Ready for the Times to Get Better. That's kind of a commentary on my own life after the loss of my wife last year. And then Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire, with the attacks that are going on tonight made a lot of sense. But if you think the first 2 hours were strange, just wait until hour three. And with that, let's get back to the phones here with Jim in Littleton. Jim, I appreciate you waiting. Good evening.
Good evening, Randy. Good show.
Thank you.
So I know that you listen to Steve Dace. I've heard you talk about him. And he ran the electoral map. I'm not sure if you listened to that about it. But it was also picked up by Dan Bogino. And they both confirmed that it probably makes sense this next election. Have you heard on that?
I did see a, you know, I don't get to hear Steve Dace that often. I just don't get to hear much in the way of talk radio. But yeah. I did see on Twitter where he'd posted up his projections.
Yeah. Do you disagree with it?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Trump is polling very, very well in Michigan. He's polling very, very well in Pennsylvania. I mean, they handed all of those states to Biden. And, of course, I don't believe it's going to be Biden either. But it seems like people just want to forget that in 2020, going by the Electoral College map, Donald Trump won that stolen election, that fraudulent election, that election where laws, statutes, rules, identification were all violated. Millions, you know, $420 million in Zuckerbucks, all of those things. And Donald Trump still lost the Electoral College by about 44,000 votes. So you said you listened to Steve. He's a good friend of mine. I respect him greatly, even though we disagree periodically. What was his reasoning behind his Electoral College map choices?
Well, pretty much it. I mean, from the point of view is he doesn't see those states have very strong Democrat parties, strong machines, more so than the Republicans. And as a result, the machine is still functioning regardless of who is running on the ticket. And as a result of that, he thinks that they're going to take him. I think he's going to, the Democrats are going to take Minnesota. I think Michigan definitely they're going to get. Those are strong states. Yeah, and as you've seen, the Democrat machine can run even a brain-dead person running for Senate and get them across the line. They are a machine that nothing compares. Republicans have nothing to run against them.
Do you disagree with me that Donald Trump lost the Electoral College in 2020 in spite of COVID, in spite of all of those things, by about 44,000 votes nationwide and just the right?
Yeah, no.
So
I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
At all, Randy, on
then
that whole thing.
Then if that's the case, the Democrat machine at its finest, the Republican National Committee with its hands tied behind its back because of a consent decree that had been in place for decades, now finally totally focused on hiring lawyers, on building up the voting judges, the poll watchers, challenging some of these regulations in court, winning multiple cases, 80 plus cases pending right now just from the RNC alone. And going back to that 44,000 votes, to be skeptical about the opportunity for Republicans and for Donald Trump to win those states, it just doesn't seem to be a balanced way of looking at it. Oh, did we lose him? We lost Jim. Great question, too. But I guess that's okay. We're nearing the top of the hour, and Dave in Kansas City loves our music choices tonight. So, you know, he's about as old as I am, so I guess that makes good sense. And something I got from Dave earlier that was texted in that would be interesting to talk about, a breaking exclusive, Devin Nunes, the dark horse candidate to be Trump's VP. I have meant to ask this question multiple times. Who do you think the VP choice will be? Who do you think the VP choice should be? But I hope I answered Jim's question. I hope I answered it to your satisfaction. If not, we can carry it on the other side. Hour three of Wake Up with Randy Corporon is straight ahead, so don't you go anywhere. You're listening to 710 KNUS. Our phone number, 303-696-1971. Call us.